The Apostle Paul continues his emphasis on spiritual unity in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13, not only for the Ephesian church, but for us, the universal church. Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright challenges us about God's provision for spiritual warfare and victory as we begin part one of our series on the armor of God entitled His Might. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
We'll just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, come before you now, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for this opportunity right now to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, right now we ask that you clear our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Father, not mine, your word. Father, I ask that you use me, Father, to accomplish a mission. And that mission is to proclaim your word to build up your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, turn this
up. As always, just a few housekeeping things I want to say before I begin. The first thing is that I want to continue to encourage you all to come out to the services. They say Tuesday night is now back on Tuesday.
Amen.
Amen. So that means that we can get back to business on Tuesday. Those who could not make Wednesday, now you can make Tuesday. Amen. And hopefully our numbers will continue to climb. In addition to that, we ask you to come out. Every Sunday to Sunday school. It's where you really get the word of life, breaking bread down into not dollars, but in cents. Amen. In addition to that, I got this blessing right here that I want to talk about. If you all recall, we said that we wanted to launch a part of giving. The way we give, where we will give like a special offering to a special fund. And we said that we were going to begin that with a projector. So we were going to allow folks to give as the Lord would lead them to give. And we set the price at $500 and something, almost $600. And we just said, the Lord wants you to give and give. Mm-hmm. Of course, give, on top of your giving. Amen. And folks did just that. Amen. So this is us coming together. Amen. Coming together. And this actually is a projector.
Woo!
Isn't that crazy? Usually they look something like the top of this, but now they've come down to this. But now we can have movie night. We can also be more mobile to go other places. Amen. So I'm excited. And this little note told me that we got it cheaper. So I'm excited. We got it cheaper, so that means we can probably get some extra stuff. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to start a new series. And this new series is on the armor of God. And understand that this past Tuesday, I believe that they started it Tuesday night Bible service. Brother Mack is leading us in that.
Amen.
And it's a good fiery time, I heard. Glad I was not there. I'm joking, right? It was good. It was a good break. I like that. That's good. Be renewed by the renewing of your minds. All right. That's good. That's all right. You can turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13. I'll read them once again. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Listen to this quote that I read this week. Here's a quote. It says, unity of mind on the part of the people of God precedes the blessings. Say that one more time. Unity of mind on the part of the people of God precedes the blessings. I have often heard people pray, oh Lord, send the Holy Spirit that we may become a united people. That is all right, except it's precisely backwards. The Holy Spirit comes because we are a united people. He does not come to make us a united people. Our prayer should be more like, Lord, help us to get united in order that the blessing might flow. And there might be an outpouring of oil to our lives. That's the way we should pray. This teaches us that unity is necessary to that outpouring of the Spirit of God. If you have 120 volts of electricity coming into your house, but you have broken wiring, you may turn the switch, but nothing works. No lights come on, the stove doesn't warm, your radio doesn't turn on. Why? Because you have broken wiring. The power is ready to do its work with all the appliances in your home. But where there is broken wiring, you have no power. Unity is necessary among the children of God if we are going to know the flow of power.
Yeah.
You hear that?
My mind.
Now imagine, if you can, Paul's situation and challenge. He was in prison, more than likely in Rome. And he was writing this letter not only to the Ephesians, but to all its surrounding communities. Now, when I read this and researched this, it says Ephesus was surrounded by at least 230 independent communities within the Roman province of Asia. So imagine, 230 communities, and he had to try to tell them one message. Now, what do you think is the need of a bunch of people that have various backgrounds and various religious experiences that have come to God? What do you think the one thing that they need? U-N-I-T-Y. They need unity. Amen? Unity. And that's the theme of the letter of Ephesians. Unity. that believing Jews and believing Gentiles are one in Christ. And now they form the church. Can we all get along? Will we ever get along? Will church folks ever stop dwelling at the bottom of the barrel, where they're preoccupied with material things, status, and physical pleasures? Will they ever forsake such things and come on up to glory? And they began to rejoice over grace. Just think about it. Grace. Grace, grace, grace. Paul defined grace, says that that's that divine assistance for daily living. Can we rejoice over that? Can we rejoice over peace? Be not dismayed, whatever the time. God will take care of you. Because not only do we have peace with God, but we now have the peace of God. Amen? Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Will the church ever work on its peculiarity? We are a peculiar people. Amen? Will we ever work on it and give God thanks for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? That's what the word says. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. For example, he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, he says in the first chapter, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That is, we've been divinely elected. Elected to what? Salvation. But he didn't stop there, saints. He didn't just save us, but then the word goes on to say, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Not only did he save you, but then also he decided to even make you a son. He says, come on into the family.
Yes.
Wow. Why dwell at the bottom when he loved us? He loved us enough to lift us. He said, love lifted me. Amen. Redeemed me. Forgave me. And on top of that, it gave me an inheritance. These are things that we should rejoice over, but yet we are sidetracked by other things. Paul is striving here to give these people an understanding of their position. Their position in Christ. In hopes that it leads to the right practice. Remember that? Often I hear when ministers come from Ephesians, they say it's about position and practice. It's about doctrine, then it's about duty, right? Position and doctrine is seen in chapters 1-3, and then practice and duty is seen in chapters 4-6. In other words, Paul is saying this, that the knowledge of truth, of this mystery, this truth, should reflect in your behavior, right? It should reflect in your behavior. Not only should it reflect in your behavior in private, but it should reflect in your behavior in the community, at work.
Yes.
And then he goes on to talk about husband and wives and children and fathers and things of that nature. So it should even reflect in your home. Even in your home. In Ephesians 16, Paul begins with this word. He says, finally. In other words, if you get this, if you understand
what this thing is all about, which is unity. If you understand that he was basically striving to get across that, yes, you're saved, but you also need to be united. Because that is what God's purpose was all about, is bringing us together. If you get this, then he says, finally. Finally. And this word finally means, here's the rest of it. Here's the rest of it. If you understand that the church is a company of people called out from the world between Pentecost and the rapture, saved by marvelous grace and given the unique privilege of being the body, the unity, the body of Christ. And no other group of believers in any age ever has had or will ever have this distinction. If you understand that, then you need to understand something else. Since God has united mankind and brought them together in Christ, then we need to have it together. We need to get it together.
Amen.
Amen. We need to get it together. Why? Because there's a war going on. There's a war going on. And the war shouldn't be inside the church. There's a war going on, saints. Yeah, I know you have sung songs like the devil's already defeated. and you're more than a conqueror, and old death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? And he led captivity captive. I get all that. But one writer says this, but even though the victory is secure, it has to be won through battle. You hear that?
Yes.
Even though the victory is secure, it must be won through battle. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our first need is God. Our first need is God. We can't do this thing without him. Let us begin there. Without God, we are beaten even before the fight begins. We must begin with God. In fact, one writer says this, the way this verse was interpreted, it's given too much credit to us. It should say, better stated, be made powerful in the Lord. Be made powerful in the Lord. Why? Because it's going to be about his strength, his power, his might that will get us through. This is not something that we can put it all together within our minds and say, you know, I'm going to do this. This is not like getting in shape. This is not like, see, I believe that's a gift too, you know, when some folks can keep themselves all and six packed up and everything else, that's a gift. I try. You're gifted. Okay? You're gifted. You're gifted if you can go to that gym and sling that weight and everything else and keep tight and run and things of that nature. You're gifted. But that's not to say that, you know, just because I'm not gifted, therefore I'm going to just eat my Twinkies and everything else and just give up. But I'm just saying you're gifted. You're gifted. I get it. But we're not talking about that giftedness. We're talking more about dependency. In order to make it in this battle, you're going to depend on his strength, his power, and his might. Not your strength, not your limited wisdom. On his strength, his power, and his might. His strength means basically this, is that it's that effective operational power. That means not only has he gifted you, but he's equipped you, enabled you to do what you need to do. In other words, you don't have a gift, and then you say, what should I do? What should I do? Now, he also enables you to do it, to execute it. See, some folks get to a point where they have gifts and they have things to offer, but yet they sit around as if they don't know what to do. What should I do?
Mercy.
Where should I do? Where should I go? Where should I be? He gives the opportunity. Why would he give you a gift and not give you the ability to use it? So discouragement is not an option. In fact, this word strong is tied to encouragement, not discouragement. Amen? Then he says, you use the word power. And power refers to that power that's exercised in resistance and control. In other words, if you read this passage, you will see one word repeated constantly. Against, 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 against. That's resistance. That's that resistance of the enemy. And what he is telling you here is that that resistance can be overcome. We are overcomers of that resistance. When the enemy pushed, we can push back. And we can push back. As a matter of fact, if it's a tug of war, guess who's going to win? We will with his power. His power. Yes. Amen? Then he goes on and talk about might. And might is that inherent strength. In other words, when I thought of this, you ever heard of, I know the brothers did, when you're out there in football or lifting weight, and then all of a sudden you say to, you know, brother said to another brother, man, that brother, country strong. Right? Inherently, he got this naturally. Well, what we want you to know is God is inherently strong. Not only is he strong, but he is strong. I can't put enough strongs together to tell you how strong God is. And it's not about your strength. Yes. It's about his. Amen? Yes. It's about his. More than likely, Paul here, he was writing this letter. And when he was writing this letter, he was more than likely chained to a soldier. And he looked at that soldier, and he checked out that soldier's behavior. Then he checked out what that soldier was wearing. And then he was inspired. He was inspired because he ended up saying this, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, grammatically, put on is a command. He didn't say, please. Put on his armor. No, he said, put on the armor of God. And it's interesting, too, because when you even read more about the grammatical structure of this, it's a command given only once. It's only given once. It's not saying, can you put it on today and then come back and put it on tomorrow, and then come back and put it on the next day. No, it's saying, put it on. And I read in the scriptures, and I'm reading in the scriptures, and I have not found yet where it says, take thou off the armor of God.
Oh, no.
If somebody come across that, let me know. Take thou off the armor of God. Right? It means, put it on and keep it on. Yes. Keep it on. In fact, here's a word picture for you. It says, sink into it. That's what it's saying. Put it on means sink into it. Not only do you invest in it, but invest yourself in it. That means sink into it. Have you ever seen anyone that wears something that's uncomfortable for them? You can tell when it's uncomfortable. They just constantly adjusting and constantly tugging and trying to suck it in and put it together to make sure they look together. They just try to make sure that it's tight and they're conscious of if anybody is looking at them. Right? He's not saying this about the armor. What he is saying is, have you ever seen that brother that no he shot? You know, he has invested in this outfit. Right? He's come out and he knows he should have shot. He walks the park. He talks the talk, right? He's in your face constantly showing you what this shirt is all about. Right? Right? He shut his hand. Bring out my eyes. I'm good. I'm good. Right? I'm good. Even talk to you different. You know what I'm saying? Right? That's what we're supposed to do with this armor. Not only are we supposed to put it on, but we're supposed to invest in it.
Yes.
Right? Invest in this thing.
Yes.
Invest in it.
Yes.
It's not about you. It's not about your strength.
Yes.
It's not about your power. It's not about your might. It's about his might. And we have to start in one place, and that's with him.
Yes.
We need him.
Yes.
Whose armor is it?
Yeah.
It's his. Put on the whole armor of
God.
Yeah.
God. Put that on. So in the coming weeks, we will talk about piece by piece by piece of this armor. Because it said put on the
whole
thing. It didn't say just put on the gloves, right? It didn't just say, you know, like most of us will say, you know, we get a sword, right, the Bible, and we say, it ain't trying it out. No, it's not trying it out. It's not picking up a sword on occasion, picking up the sword on just a cave and saying, it's not bad. Balance. No, it's not about that. When you pick it up and you put it in your hand, right? Does it stop there? No, it goes right there. Right? And you keep it. Right? And that's what we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. Amen? But for now, know this. I did not want you all to leave today thinking that this armor is something that at bedtime you just take it off. Now, the first step is to understand that it's God's strength. And he says, put it on. Put it on.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org.